My name is Helen. I'm an alcoholic. And let's see if this works. I tried to get it so it doesn't turn off after about 10 seconds, and it's useful. My sobriety date is June 7, 2010. I got sober in D.C. My home group there was a Thursday night step study that none of you have probably heard of. I have a sponsor. Worked through the steps in D.C. My sponsor there told me she wasn't able to leave her baby and husband to come with me out here, so I had to get a new one. I asked her several times. She kept saying no. I really didn't want to have to come out here and start over again. And that's kind of been what I've been doing since June when I got out here. I feel like I'm new, you know. I'm 4 months away from turning three like those other ladies, and I feel like I'm, you know, halfway through potty training. Because, you know, that's, I was thinking, out. You know, she said she was 3 years old, and I'm like, where would we be? Yeah, it's about right. You know, I do things semi-decently as an adult, but it's still obvious that I have lots of room to grow, and I like to say that, you know, I didn't really start drinking until I was 21, but, you know, after I was sober for a little bit, I had to start getting a little more honest with myself, and I was one of those kids who, growing up, you know, didn't want to be in trouble. Like, I already thought that I was a bad person, and I had to be perfect in every way for you guys to like me, so any possible thing I could do that could get me into trouble was going to hurt that. My parents thought it would be interesting at a year and a half to see how I reacted to beer. Apparently, I spit it out. My younger sister grabbed for the bottle. My brother didn't get to have the experiment, because that's the succession we came in. And I started drinking in terms of consuming alcohol through church. I was one of those kids who was there every Sunday, and in my faith, you get communion in these little shot glass-looking things every week. And so from the time I was in fifth grade until I was 21, I was in church every Sunday, because that was the only time I saw alcohol. I didn't put that together then, but I was very dutiful in going to church, because when I was younger, where I grew up, it was the only way I could get it. I didn't have older siblings. I didn't have older friends. I have a very, very small family, and they're very old, and so there was nobody around my age to help out with that. And I come from a family of normal drinkers. And so a lot of my drinking was in college and away from people who knew me. So no one really knew that something was going on, apart from me. And I was willing to pin me not feeling right in the world on everything but alcohol. I was not someone who made friends really easily. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but I was just different. You know, in my head, I was unique, and I feel like so many of us coming into this program have that problem of, I am different because. And I was different because I was very anxious, and I was very nervous, and my mom worked in the high school. That doesn't make you popular growing up. It just doesn't, because your mom knows everybody else's parents, and they don't want to get in trouble, and so you can't be friends. So I was alone a lot, and I spent a lot of time with books. And when I was in freshman year high school, I had a girl I met who was really cool, nothing like me, had friends. She seemed to like who she was, and I wanted that. And she had a bottle of something clear one day, and I was like, I don't know what it was. I'm not even going to pretend I knew what it was, but I knew it wasn't something we were supposed to be drinking in high school. And so we're sitting in class one day, and I was like, can I have some? And I remember taking that first drink voluntarily and just being like, this feels good. And it scared the crap out of me. Like, I was terrified because I liked it and I wanted it. And I had plans that my family thought I should pursue. Going to medical school since I was like five. It was like, I want to do this. And so my mom, working in the high school, really pushed me, and I was like, everything that my family keeps telling me I'm supposed to do, this is going to get in the way of. I don't know how at 14 I knew that, but I knew this is going to screw up everything I want to do in life. And so I didn't voluntarily drink again until I turned 21, because then it was safe. Like, I white-knuckled it until I was 21, because it would be safe then. It was legal, and I couldn't hurt myself, right? You know, I couldn't get in trouble. From the time I was 21 till I turned 25, I went from social drinking to daily drinking to drinking to fall asleep at night. I was someone who would come home from work, change clothes, go have dinner at the bar, and then close it down. You know, and I had a job where I got up and went to work at 5 in the morning. Like, this wasn't a smart thing to do. I don't know how I did it. Now I feel so tired by the time it's like 9 p.m., you know. But I would close the bar down. I would get up at like 5 in the morning, and I would go to work thinking that was normal. I would pace around my apartment, closing every door, closing every window, convinced there was something out to get me. And that was just, it was not a cool place to be. I got to the point where I couldn't sleep if I didn't drink. I couldn't face life if I didn't drink, you know. There were a few traumatic things that happened to me that alcohol numbed me. It helped me not have to feel. It helped me not have to deal with reality. And it worked for a while, until it didn't. And then I didn't know what to do. Because I could drink, and my brain wouldn't shut up. I could drink, and bad things kept happening, and nothing good happened anymore. Like, I got to that part where it talks about it in the big book, where it's like, it didn't work, but I couldn't put it down. My first meeting of AA I ever went to was through school. I had to go, and I found myself, like, doing this in the back with all the other students, like, sitting next to me going, oh, no. Like, I'm relating to everything the speaker's saying. That's probably not a good sign. Because I didn't think alcohol was my problem. I was depressed, you know. My parents and I didn't get along. I wasn't doing well in school. That's what was wrong with me. Alcohol was the way I dealt with life. I got into AA because the Navy decided that they didn't want me anymore. School was going to kick me out, and I had no means of paying for this on my own, so I thought maybe I would preemptively do something. So I volunteered to go to a 28-day rehab program, and there they took me to meetings of AA. So for a second time, I was introduced to this group of people that has saved my life. And I don't know if anyone's going to get anything out of what I say tonight, but I know that I will. You know, a friend was supposed to have this commitment, and she called me up and she was like, hey, I have to go to a funeral. I'm going out of town. You know, is there any way you can do this? And I was like, of course I can. Like, there is nothing in AA that I have been asked to do that if I have the ability to do it, I will say no to. You know, because I owe so much to this program, because I couldn't get up in front of a group of people like this before and talk. I'd be shaking, I'd be worried that you were all thinking I was like bizarre or weird, and right now I don't care. Because you're all still probably thinking about that in a small, tiny bit, but most of you are just thinking about yourself, so I'm really not that worried. I'm not. But, you know, I got here and I got to work the steps with a woman who, you know, had 8 years in the program, and really, you know, what I loved about her was that she was very gentle and she met me where I was. She didn't ask me to be anything other than what I was. She didn't ask me to be any further along than I was, you know, and she was okay with the fact that, you know, I was being as honest as I could be, you know. I didn't have to pretend that I was all perfect, because I wasn't, and I'm not. As long as I was willing to tell her what was wrong with me at the moment, she was willing to tell me what I could do at that moment to stay sober. And, you know, it's really that simple. I was driving over here and I was thinking, just 49 years is ridiculous. Let me just say that is amazing. I can't comprehend that. Like, I have no means of understanding that. When I first got sober, a year, like, I had no means of conceptualizing a year without alcohol. I didn't think I could live without alcohol. I didn't. I didn't think I could physically do it, because I woke up every morning and that's all I thought about. And I can say that sometime between 6 and 9 months, that stopped, you know? By continuing to come to the program, I've been able to wake up in the morning and I think about praying, or I think about work, or I think about my significant other. And alcohol doesn't come into it, except what meeting am I going to? or, you know, who do I need to talk to today? And it's not that I don't think about drinking. I had a drinking dream, I'm going to shut up in a second, earlier this week. And I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, sweating, terrified. And that was a good thing, because it means that I'm still where I need to be. And this still means enough to me that it scares me, you know? So that's all the time I have, but thanks for letting me come up here, and congratulations to those who took tokens.